Welcome Jeannie Alley, a great addition to ordination.
Well, I'm kind of amazed to be here, and I'm very grateful. I was sitting where you were a few years ago, I think five now, and when I came up to get my certificate, I stumbled on the beautiful stairs and fell out. And Joan, as gracious as she is, she's going, just keep going, just keep going. So she gave me some great advice. So if you're worried about stumbling or anything on the, don't worry about it. It's already been done. My name is Jeannie. Like she said, I'm so grateful for her support and gracious words over the last week. She means everything to me as far as what she provides in this place. She is a pioneer to me. She comes up. I love Joan. I'm thankful for her. She comes up and portrays a story of great pain and vexing that you know any one of us could get trapped in for years. She sashays through it like no big deal. Tells you about it and the victory that God does. She's a pioneer for us women, for divorced women in ministry, the broken, right? I mean, she's amazing, and I'm really grateful for her. And I'm grateful for this place because I come back and I get the freedom of the worship, you know, and other people that are in love with Jesus like I am. Okay, us Jesus freaks, we got to find each other every so often, right? I don't apologize, but sometimes I have to say, he changed my life. I can't tell you anything else. I have no advice for you. You need Jesus, right? Right? So I kind of maybe beat some people up sometimes with that. Look, he's the healer. He's your God. And he showed up today and he's showing us, right? I don't even need to really speak today that much because Jesus Christ walked in here today. I saw him come in last night. I saw this great big white horse. It barely fit right in here and Jesus on top of it. And I knew that he was coming. I knew that he was here for us. I knew that he was here for you and for me. And this morning then the worship started. And the songs, I don't know if you noticed, the progression of songs was actually how to heal. So look, this life, we're going to go through some stuff, right? I pray to God that not very many have to go through what this gentleman just presented. Like, Lord, I want to be open and give you my yes and submitted without horrible trauma, but it happens. And a lot of us have been through different types of trauma, and I'm very grateful for that beautiful story and the grace and the way that he portrayed it. It was absolutely gorgeous. Two worlds collided, and to see what changes us is to see Jesus, right? And so sometimes I think in some of our circles in this supernatural praying, you know, I can't see, I can't hear, I want to hear God, I can't see Jesus. I'm like that man who got down in front of somebody who killed his aunt and washed her feet. Who do you see? That is Jesus. Jesus, the only one who can come to earth to seek and to save us that were lost, his own creation, right? And let himself be beaten, whipped, I mean, and not move off of that cross. He's amazing. I'm sorry, my lips are drying out. So today I want to, I've studied this for a long time. I know it's on soul healing. Studied that for a very long time, and the Lord began to show me some areas. I didn't understand exactly what that meant. What is your soul? What happens there? And what is your spirit? But we are a spirit with a soul housed in a body, okay? And when we get redeemed, Holy Spirit comes and lives in our spirit man and is made alive. and then we're learning and growing. And in your soul is a lot of kind of who we are, right? Your mind. That's what you've learned, what you've processed, how you've make decisions out of. Your intellect, your will, what you make decisions out of, what you speak out of. Your emotions, how we feel, where our passions are, but also where wounding can be. And so the Lord, I was battling depression and some other things, and I was like, God, I'm sitting on a pew, like this man was talking about, and but I was still hurting, and I felt very, you know, you can be in a crowd of people and you feel unseen. You can be speaking to someone. I'll give you an example. Like, I was talking to my husband, and he comes downstairs. He's going to ask me a question about something and about a check. And I had written a check. And so he points it out, and I'm looking at it. He says, "What does this say? And or what is this?" And I'm like, I look at it, and it's for $5. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? I cannot write a check for $5 without you questioning it. You know, so I kind of lost it. And he's looking at me like, what planet did my wife come in from? He goes, I can't read who you made it out to. I was like, yeah. So you have clues like that in your life when you respond to certain things, like, major emotion on something that was maybe not quite as needed that. You go off on somebody when you're mad at somebody, something else you can't deal with. Of course, right now, we have so many battling anxieties. You know, when you come, people that come for help, it's normally depression, heaviness, anxiety, and addictions, things like that. These are things that are showing us kind of they're manifesting what's going on in the soul, what's going on in your heart. And the soul is like your record of where you've walked and what you've done, and you can't handle all of that in your conscious mind, so it actually stores in your subconscious mind. And so we know what being triggered is, right? Somebody says something, and all of a sudden, like I said, on that check. So we walk through different things, but God's wanting to show us kind of what's in the soul, what's really in our hearts. And in that, though, as redeemed people, he wants to redeem it. He wants to redeem it. He wants to show us who he is and come in close and come in deep. So I want to give you a couple of examples. First of all, your soul, your heart, actually works similar to your body. So when I began to seek him about depression and things that I was battling, loneliness, worthlessness. You know, those things don't come to you that quickly. You don't know. I don't feel worthless. It's just you come into a crowd of people and you're like, oh, what do they have on? Oh, see, oh, I don't know. I want to, you know, you're navigating through comparing, trying to get our needs met, trying to work through different things. You have this whole world going on inside, right? And so he began to show me that the heart is similar to the body, and that I was dealing, and I always thought it was sin. I need to do the right thing, and then the good things will happen. Kind of, we get that understanding when you come to Christ. Do it right, do the right thing, and good things will happen. And I was still being depressed on the pew, so it began to show me about the body. So if I've stubbed my toe not too long ago, I don't know if anybody in here has ever stubbed their toe at night. All right, so you get up, you stub your toe, and then you're walking like, oh my gosh, all your mind is on that toe. And you're navigating around furniture like 5 feet away, right? And then okay, your conscious goes to that pain. Pain does that. That's what it pulls us. And so you develop a way. I'm going, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I got to go to work in an hour. I don't know if I can put on a shoe. I might have to just not go to work today because I can't put a shoe on. Your pain causes you to navigate, you know, in your day. So everybody you see is navigating their life through their experiences and their things of the past that we haven't really brought to the Lord and gotten really healed. Our kind of society teaches us, you know, you try harder, you work harder, you strive to be better, do better. Our society teaches us you take that pain, you lock it down, time will heal. We have all kinds of coping mechanisms. And so he began to show me that I was functioning out of my coping of sensitive areas in me and my life was how I was navigating. Does that make sense? And so, and it was similar to the body. So let's look at another thing with the body. If you go out hiking and you have a huge pain in your foot, right, all of a sudden you step on something and you're like, what in the world is going on right there? And what are you going to do? You just keep hiking? No. You're going to stop. You're going to take your shoe off. Now, what are you looking for? You're looking for what's causing the pain. You're looking for, did it go deep enough that I'm bleeding? When you identify, okay, it's in there deep, I'm going to have to do something. Well, is it metal? What if it's a nail? Different protocol, right, of how you treat it than if it's a thorn, right? If it's bleeding, has a different protocol. So depending on how deep it is, how much dirt got in it, what actually went in there, you have a whole protocol that they go through, right? And then we can do that for our heart. It's a similar thing. We get wounded. So when God began to heal the depression, I was presenting saying, heal my depression, God, I need help. He was going, there's a lot underneath it. And so he began to walk me through different pains that I had gone through, different wounds, different things, traumas, and he wanted to heal that. So that's when you have so many battling anxiety and so many of us battling depression or addiction, you're actually just presenting the surface issue, the surface wound, okay? Presenting the surface of what it is. So underneath that, he wants to go in and really identify what the root is. So in that process, you can develop a protocol of how to heal. I want to heal. So he's a God of peace. He is a God of life, of love, of hope. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free, right? Okay, God, show me the truth about me. And it wasn't always pretty. And some of it was very hard. And what this gentleman brought out today, they had courage. It takes courage to face some of those hard things. It takes courage, you know, to face some of the hard things we've been through. So I deal more with helping people kind of out of deeper trauma. But we all get wounded. We all get stuck. We've all been through some stuff, right? So I want to show you how to, just some simple tools that God put in place for us to be healed, okay? For us to even feel in a day. He said very clearly in his word in Isaiah 53, we hear a lot about Jesus died for our sin, right? And thank God, don't get me wrong. But in Isaiah 53, where he really talks about what he did, he said, surely he has borne our grief, carried sorrows. And then in verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So there's 5 things listed there. 3 of them actually affect your emotions, affect your heart and mind, your soul. I mean, they all do. I'm not saying iniquity doesn't affect your soul. I'm sorry, it does. But Jesus died for our sin, but he also died for the losses that we've experienced, the griefs, where we've had grief, where we've had sorrows. And I don't know about you, but my peace gets chastised probably every single day. Anybody? Especially these days, right? The past couple years. So he began to show me that some of what I am feeling, thinking, speaking out of, and acting out of, making decisions out of, is things in my soul that he wanted to get in there and work with and bring into healing and wholeness, bring into purity, and bring into truth. Okay? So I'll go into more detail about how we can do that. But what's happening is wounded people wound people. And so we're still getting hurt on old wounds. And when you have a few wounds, you got compounded wounding, and that's what he showed me. He says, your wound after wound and not dealing with it. What happens if I don't deal with that thorn in my foot? Starts getting infected, starts running up, right? Infection can kill you if you don't treat it, right? You lose a foot, you lose all right? But a lot of us are trying to manage things in our heart that we don't really realize. God can fully and totally heal. Not only that, he actually paid a very great price for it. So another thing that, to me, to get healed in our souls, number one is I feel better, thank God, hallelujah, because I want a base of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. I want to walk in peace. So I'd be in depression. I'd be like, Jesus, I need the Prince of Peace. Where is he? You know? And I'd be trying to get him to come in and bring me some peace, and I would get it for a moment, but then something, you know, again, I'm off, or something would happen, and I'd wake up and from the next day, and there'd be anxiety back or depression back. So I said, Lord, how do I deal with that? And so the Bible says we're a vessel, right? So let's just say you make a cup of coffee, you put cream, all the good stuff in it, and then you set it down somewhere. I don't know if this happens to anyone else. But I'm like, an hour later, I don't even know what I did with that coffee. Okay, so let's say you find it 5 days later when you're cleaning out behind the, you know, cabinet, and there it is where you set it down and it hit behind the TV and you didn't notice or whatever. So you pull, and it's, you know, getting kind of gangrene on top, no, moldy on top, moldy, right? So he said, you're a vessel. And when life pours in pain and junk and lies and, you know, somebody's attitude, abuse, hurt, trauma, car wreck, loss, somebody you love, whatever pours in, and he wants to process that, but it fills that vessel, and he wants us to unload first. He began to show me that even like your body is made to breathe, you breathe in an oxygen that is a life-giving force. You always have to exhale, and you exhale the contaminations of that, or the carbon monoxide, the things your body can't live on, right? It doesn't need, toxic to your body. Same thing with when you eat. Not that I'm going to talk about that up here. But when you eat, you eliminate, all right? So when we walk through a day, he wants our soul healing. Now, I don't know how many days you guys go without taking a shower. All right, walking through life, we know we get dirty. If you work in the garden or under a car or something like that, and you're extra dirty, you might take 2 showers. But you want to get cleansed up. So if your soul is similar, it needs to be cleansed. So this is a kind of a healing and cleansing. You want to be mindful of your soul. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 and somewhere in my notes, 4 and somewhere, it says, keep your heart with all diligence because out of it flow the issues of life, right? Anybody heard that scripture? Anybody look up diligence? So keep your heart. What is your heart? Your heart is your soul, right? And he's saying, above all else, keep your heart. Because stuff happens. Life happens. Toils of life. Storms of life. And, but that word diligence is like as if you're, it's a prison guard. Prison guard. I'm like, what, Lord? When I'm looking at that. Where do you keep your, like, the finest jewels? Can anybody in here, have you ever seen the Queen's jewels? They take, like, one piece of it on tour sometimes. Somebody raised their hand, yes. Is it hard to get near that? They have any kind of jeweler
It is complete lockdown. It is amazing to be able to even get to it, right? It is on guard. But when you're in prison, their lives are on the line, and they're on guard. I've been in a couple prisons doing prison ministry, and they're on guard because if they're not fully aware at all times, they know their life is even on the line, all right? And that one slip and things can happen, and that gets totally blown up, and a lot of people get hurt, all right? So why the heart? Why is that so important? It's what Jesus died for. What he wants from us is our heart. To him, your heart is the most beautiful treasure. That's what he wants, your heart. So he's asking us, watch over your heart with all diligence before out of it flow the issues of life. Well, that's what we said before. We operate out of, make decisions out of, speak out of your heart. And so some of us, not naming any names, might have been me for a while, and sometimes I still do it. There's like a field of bodies behind me. People I just took out with my words and my attitudes, all right? And that's what he's saying is your words, your attitudes, issues of life, your agenda flows out. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I want a pure heart. God said, a pure in heart will see God. Purify my heart. David prayed, purify my heart, right? Create in me a clean heart. So we want him to go to the root of it. So sometimes that's, you know, no, I'm not watching. I'm watching a movie and something flips up on that screen. I'm like, whoa, I'm not going there. And I shut that down. Okay, that is guard your heart also. But it's also watching when you get hurt. I think as Christians, we know a lot about watching out for forgiveness, watching out for, you know, forgiving someone, watching out for bitterness. We always forgive, but we don't realize we're getting wounded as well. And how do I navigate wounds? And how do I navigate the roots of my emotional life and my thought life? So this is where we want to bring that to the Lord. He bore it at the cross. He paid a very great price to bring that healing. All right? So I didn't want to talk very much about it, but I wanted to give you understanding that having our souls cleansed is very important to God, our hearts cleansed because and healed, because wounds release infection, right? What did he say about if you get hurt and you get angry, which is normal, he said, be angry but don't sin. God was angry. You can see him processing through the Old Testament of when he was hurt, when he would work in somebody's life, and then we would turn our backs on him and go other places, right? So he wants to bring that healing, wants to bring that truth to us to bring that healthy response, healthy in life, walking healthy, walking in peace, walking in the fullness of what he died to give us. So when you're going to be working with other people, he wants us to bear with one another. He wants us to, you know, the scripture in, I think it's Colossians, that talks about if there's been any comfort, if there's been any care in knowing Holy Spirit and having Jesus in your life, he wants us to give that to another one. So how can I walk in the love of Christ if I haven't really experienced it, right? My grace level went way up when I got on my face before God and he showed me some of the ugly stuff in my own heart. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for what he does. All right, so it's as natural as breathing. All right, that's what he wants us to know. So in a day, there'll be times he's going to deal with a very deep root. Some people have been very traumatized. You can hear that. You can hear where they talked about today. There's some ugly stuff. Is the enemy at work? Absolutely. Abuse is at an all-time horrible level. Addiction is at a horrible level. There's plenty of that going around. But for you guys, I wanted you to be able to know that every day, even if you don't know what you're dealing with or what's going on, you want to take note of your soul and cleanse it just like you do your body. Okay, Lord, today, have I gotten wounded today? I ask you to show me. Okay, well, I release forgiveness to them. And you can get it to where And then you can say, Lord, do you have anything I need to repent of? Yes, you know. Oh, well, forgive me for that. I let that go. You can do it just like every day. But you can get to where even breathing, you're walking just like breathing. I don't even know I'm breathing. But you walk through a day and something happens and it jolts your heart or it triggers you or you get wounded and you go, okay, Lord, what's going on? Right then, I release forgiveness to them. I ask you to heal this wound. Just in the Holy Spirit is in us. He's with you. He is that life force in us that heals. So do it as you can do it as you go. So let's see. So what I want to do, I don't want to teach on it any as much deeply. I really want you guys to experience it with me. And what we're going to do is, so that scripture in Isaiah, we want to make exchange. So breathing is an exchange, right? You breathe in the oxygen, the life force, the things that you need, and you exhale the negative, okay? So we exhale out, like he said, the cup, you empty it. Those are just two different ways of looking at it. You know, Jesus was always telling the kingdom of God is like, because we don't get it. So I'm trying to give different ways. It can be that easy. So, but this is what we're doing. When you empty the cup, we're going to make exchange with the cross. Remember when Jesus, he said, we took our sins. If you had a legal pad and you had to write all your sins down, right? And he had a legal pad and his was clear, right? And you made exchange. I gave him my sin. He gave me his righteousness, okay? We can do that with, God, I give you my hurt. I give you my grief. Oh, this person said this, and it just, Lord, why? What's going on? You make that exchange. We can make that exchange with him. And I can apply then the power of the blood. So let me see. I got ahead of myself, and now I'm off schedule. But I'll figure it out. All right, and so these are just, I have to give you these bases so you know what we're going to do, okay? One more thing is, a lot of times we kind of wait around for the Lord to show up and help us. But I was praying with someone one time, and she was in great, great pain and agony, remembering some horrible abuse that she had been through. And she was crying out to God, God, why can't you just take it all? Wipe my memory. Take this. And I was like, hello. I didn't know what to say, you know. I'm like, Lord, what do you want to say here? And he began to show me how he created us. God is sovereign. He is in control. But he made us individuals, right? He made us with a free will. He gave you power. He gave you a voice. And in that, we have to use our voice. So I have to welcome him into my pain. I have to welcome him into help, number one, give him permission. And for some of us, when we don't trust or we're having issues, you know, maybe I thought God was big and angry and mad at me, and I had to work through those trust issues. But he's good with that. You go be honest with him. So emptying the cup is you going forward and just being raw honest. All right, so I want to give it to you kind of in steps. So the step one is, number one, he's Savior and he's God, so we don't want to forget that, right? Okay, so you're turning. Your step first, something that you want to deal with. Like we talked about cleansing and living day to day pure and clean. But what do I do when I have a particular situation I want to deal with? Or I've just gotten triggered, or I've had bad news, or something's going on that's causing you anxiety or causing you depression and things. Number one, he's God and I'm not. I had one lady want me to pray for her one time, and she was like, you know, I have this horrible anxiety and I've gone through these horrible things. I need help, but I don't want you to pray for me in the name of Jesus. And I was like, that's what I said. What? I said, what? And because she didn't know who God was, she did not. She thought she was kind of raised a little bit Catholic, and she thought that he was kind of wimpy. And so she didn't want to. I know, I was like, because they portray him, you know, some of that. Now, see what happened there. She processed truth through her, or her, she processed what I was saying through her own soul, her own opinions, her own experiences, her own culture, right? And she had put a limitation on God because of it. That's another reason we want to get our souls healed, is because we actually limit God. We kind of judge him. We put him into a box, okay? So anyways, so tool one, he's God, I'm not. I'll go to him and I'm like, you're the king, I'm the bean, right? You're the maker, I'm the makey. You're the potter, I'm the clay. Just to get some, he knows what he is, but I'm getting me in alignment, right? Okay,